Welcome to Jesus-Centric Leadership. I'm here with Pastor Josh. I'm Donna. And today we're going to talk about serving with heart and vision. Interesting topic. It's a little bit of unpacking before we kind of get to the meat and bones of it. So, Pastor, I'm going to have you start out with what is vision exactly? We hear that sometimes, I think, more in the Christian realm of leadership than we do maybe in the world, as the world looks at it. But what does it mean to have vision? Does it mean I have 20/20 vision? does it mean I'm going to have all the answers?
Yeah.
You know, all that.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the hard part about vision is the way the Bible uses it. It's usually like this king was given a dream or a vision or this person. And it's very much like, it sounds like I had a dream and then I'm coming back from my dream, assuming that God gave me that dream and telling you that you should do it. And I think while the people in the Bible were given that directly by God, I don't think when I say that I have a vision, I'm not saying that God came down in a dream and gave me this vision.
Right.
What I'm saying, though, is that I believe based in the Bible, based in the experience that God has given me in this world, based on other Christians I've talked to, God has given me some picture of what he thinks the future of the church should look like, or the future of this ministry should look like. And I think vision in that way is really key, because what we're doing is we're assembling all of that together and saying, this is where we want to go. So like, for instance, One More in Christ, right? That's an initiative we had, something we still talk about, that we want to reach one more person in Christ, right? That was something that God laid on my heart as I was out in the neighborhood, walking around and seeing all of these houses around me. As I heard this statistic that Barna put out, that 50% of these people in these houses don't know Jesus, and I was walking and running, and I realized there's a lot of houses around us. And to think that that many people, that many families don't know Jesus, right, that welled this up inside of me, that we've got to reach one more in Christ and then do it 1,000 times over, right? And so I'm not saying that God came down to earth in that moment and gave me a vision. But what I am saying is that I have a heart to reach people. The Bible teaches to reach people. I talk to other Christians who want to reach people. And now I have this direction that I'm going, that I believe is true to the Bible, is God glorifying, and is based in what he has to say. Is that?
Yeah, I would agree. I think when we do disaster relief, it usually comes from, I'm watching TV and I'm watching a disaster unfold, and my heart is just so big for that situation.
Yeah.
And then I feel like the next steps are very clear. So I'll say I have a vision for how we can do this, but it's many steps and it's many parts of it. It's not a, fear not, for I am with you and here is the next step. Although I think maybe sometimes that still happens. I'm not going to say it doesn't, but I think what you said is really on point. It's a heart for, it's a understanding of maybe one more step as to how I can get there.
Yeah, it's a heart for something, and then asking, I think it's always asking yourself then, is this heart for coming from me ultimately, or is it coming from God? And I think that's what separates like vision and feelings in a way, that you can have a feeling for something, but then you have to ask the next question and say, is that God motivated? Mm-hmm. Is that from him? And that's when we go, the scripture teaches us to test and approve, right? Because there's a lot going on in our lives that doesn't necessarily come from God, but is this from God? And so as we looked at One More in Christ, right? I got to ask the question, like, is that of God? And, you know, and then I went to the Bible and I saw that, you know, God says that when you're in Christ, you're a new creation. That's from 1 Corinthians. When you're in Christ, you're a new creation. And so I think that's really beautiful, that this idea of one more in Christ to reach the lost, It comes from the Bible. And there's tons of other Bible passages. I can't just based on one. There's tons of other Bible passages that reach that we should have this heart for reaching people.
So when you have the nudging of the vision, so let's say that's a nudging and a, you know, I feel that, I see it, I can. What importance does the heart play in that?
Yeah, so I think a huge importance because the heart does tell you some of where your passion is. And I think like when we talk in ministry, your sweet spot is when we line up the Spirit's call with the Bible, with your heart. Because if God has created you, he's created you perfect, he knits you together in your mother's womb, then God made you that way for a certain reason. And to just say, well, I've just got to follow the Bible and not consider my heart, isn't true as well. Now, again, we got to be clear. The heart can lie. It can be deceitful. Satan can work through the heart. But I don't think God says to avoid the heart. He says it can lie, but he doesn't say to avoid the heart. And so I think when your passion, your giftedness line up with God's call, that is your sweet spot for ministry. And so I have a heart to see the lost reached. That's very biblical. That's, you know, why I'm in ministry, because I want to see that happen. That's going to be a vision that's going to be a part of our church, because that's where I'm passionate about.
But the opposite is true also. It doesn't always, the heart doesn't always feel good when you're doing the ministry that God put before you. Like sometimes there can be a lot of pain involved, correct?
Yeah, and so that's why I would say the heart is a liar, because I think sometimes our heart can say, well, this is hard, that means I shouldn't do it.
Right.
Most things that are worth doing have hard parts to them. Being in ministry is quite honestly some days very hard. Does that mean I should just quit because it feels hard, or I don't want to do it?
I'm going to say a firm no, please.
Yeah, a firm no. No, and I'm not. But like it's the same as, like, so let's take it into parenting. Like, just because parenting's hard doesn't mean we should do it.
Right.
Right? Like, I don't know. If you apply that, parenting is hard every day, and then your kids go to bed, and you're like, oh, I love them so much. Mm. But when they're awake, it's not always, oh, I love them so much. It's just, this is really difficult, and I'd rather escape right now. And I think so ministry, we have to understand that ministry can be that way, whether it's to our family, whether it's in our church. Ministry is always going to have hard parts of it.
Amen. Yeah, I see that in student ministry of the goodbye of students. Like, I've been with these students for so long, and then they go to college, and there's a goodbye, and that about breaks my heart, right?
Yeah.
But then I think the latest time I saw it was in when we went to North Carolina for the mission trip, and that was really raw, and it was hard. Did we do the right thing to go?
Yeah.
Yes. Was it phenomenal to serve God's people? Yes, and it was incredibly painful.
Yeah.
Because the stories that we heard, we were there so soon after. I would do it again in a heartbeat, but it does show the pain of ministry.
Yeah.
And Jesus faced that also, didn't he? Pain of ministry.
Absolutely. Well, Jesus, right? He wept, right? Like, well, his friend dies.
He raised him from the dead.
And he raised him from the dead. But he did. He wept. Before he went to the cross, he cried tears of blood. Well, what if Jesus, before he went to the cross, would have said, this is hard, I'm not going to do it? Mm-hmm. Right? But I think Jesus had a vision, a picture of what he was going to do for mankind. That dying on the cross would free them from their sins. And we're not Jesus.
Right.
But I think Jesus, it must have been hard when he knew Judas was going to betray him.
I was just going to go there.
It must have been hard when he had to tell Peter, get behind me, Satan, right? Yeah. His rock. Peter was a rock. He called him his rock, right? He said, I'm going to build my church on this rock, this confession of you, Peter. Like, you're the rock. That's why I named him Peter, right? But yet, like, he wasn't being a rock there. And so I think the hard in ministry, but I think I would back up and say this, though. I think if you're doing ministry, and you're not able to find any good in it, that then it might not be for you. Because I don't want to, at one point I want to say it's going to be hard and you're going to have to work through hard. But if you can't see any good, if it's not, if you're not seeing the impact you have, or you're not feeling some joy in it, right, then you might want to ask if this is the right place. Not if you should be in ministry somewhere, but is this the right place? And that's the thing for me. Like, ministry is hard, but there's a lot of places I get so much joy still from being the pastor here. And if I didn't have that joy in some places, not all places, but some places, then I should reconsider. And I would say this is the same thing for everywhere, but here's the one exception, but your family.
Right.
Right. Your family's a call. Right. And I would say if you're not finding joy in it, you recalibrate, rethink, refigure out how you're looking for it, because that's a call that isn't, it's not your choice to be involved in your family. God has given you that call.
Yeah.
And so that means you get to be there. But your workplace, how you're volunteering at church, those are all things that you can recalibrate, that you can move to a different place.
And I think in the future, we may want to do a podcast on fatigue and burnout.
Mm, yeah.
Because what do I do when I'm tired in my family, right?
Or yeah.
I'm tired in this place that God has
yeah.
me, but I do still feel a call for it. But that, I think that's a podcast for
yeah.
another day. I want to get back on this. What practical steps can leaders take to align their heart and vision with God's?
Yeah, well, practical steps. Well, I thought of this verse. This is Ephesians 4, starting in verse 11. He gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. And I would say this is like, we always have to start from a place of who is equipping me, right? Because there are people out there, this podcast, I know I'm equipped by other pastors, other podcasts I listen to. And so how am I being equipped? Like, and I think that's a big question, and that's part of why, right, why we're having this podcast, is because actually Donna and I, as paid staff, as called church workers, our first job actually isn't to do ministry, it's to equip you to do ministry. And so I would just remember that as you're doing this, know that we're here for you, we're here to equip you. The greatest thing we can do for our leaders is when our leaders say, hey, I want to check in because I'm having this struggle. Mm-hmm. Like, that's where we want to equip you and build you up, whether it be a podcast or whether it be a one-on-one, because the greatest thing we want to do is equip our leaders. And so I would just say, like, the first step is to make sure you're being equipped, make sure you're being challenged, make sure you're learning and growing in what it means to follow Christ. But ask the question again, because yeah. I don't think I answered.
Well, no, it's good. I don't think this side of heaven, and I've said this a million times, and we've talked before about who are you following, who you're leading. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that slides right into that. But I think it's really important that we are in prayer. I really think it's important that we're in the Word.
Yeah.
And I agree. I think we've got to have somebody that we're following.
Mm-hmm.
And this side of heaven, I'm always following
mm-hmm.
Until the day I go home.
Yeah.
It was interesting. I just, I'm a geek with history, and I was listening to Jimmy Carter's funeral, which I know some of you out there are like, she did what? But it was really interesting.
She was late to come into work because of it, too.
thanks for giving
yeah.
me up. But I as I was watching it, I was very amazed. The comments about his presidency were not stellar, but to him as a Christian leader and man and husband, stellar. Like, there was, but he was always bettering himself. He was always serving. He was always in the space of humility. And it was just a great reminder to me. He always put his family first. The showing of his family at the funeral was phenomenal, but the words that they had to say about him was fantastic. And I think there's this sweet spot, not to focus on Jimmy Carter, but there's this sweet spot of when things are aligned correctly, when I'm following God and I'm I'm in his word, and I have somebody that I'm following, and I'm living in that right space with my family, and I'm seeking ways that I can serve him. It's almost like the sweet spot on a bat where you can just knock that ball out of the park. Now, finding that sweet spot is hard.
Yeah.
Staying in the sweet spot is even harder, right? There's no batter that hits 100% of home runs, but it's really just pursuing this relationship with God relentlessly, that all that I'm doing is an outpouring of my love for him.
Yeah, it fits all the pieces together, right? We go back to, we talked about Matthew 4:19 last week on the podcast, but come follow me, Jesus says. And really that has to be the first place that we started as leaders. Like if you're listening to this and you're like, I want to do something, but I'm not sure what that is, right? Like maybe your first step isn't even to ask, what should I do? But just to be with Jesus, to make that your priority for a season here. And I think the danger in that always is that your being becomes everything. Like Jesus called us to be, but then he called us to go. But I think at the same time, like if you're not sure where you're called to lead or serve or all that, like to just begin with being, because that heart has to flow from a place connected to him. And it can't flow from a place of empty. And I would say even when we use the word empty, a lot of times we think empty is the, we have to be filled so that we can lead. But I would say it's not being filled in your human rest, but it's being filled in your rest in Jesus. Because that's where we draw our energy source from. Isn't from, well, I'm an introvert, so I have to have this much time away from people.
Right.
I am. That's important. That's self-care. But what's more important than self-care is that being with Jesus and being filled with him.
Yeah. And you're modeling this. We have a Wednesday morning Bible study time that you've asked a few of us, a couple of us who are women and a couple of guys, and we are in there together where we're going very slowly through different verses and really being intentional. But you're leading that we can't lead if we're not in that space of discipleship ourselves.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's so important, is that everything we do flows out of our being with Christ. Everything. Like it's going to make you a better parent, a better employee, a better boss, a better leader at church,
a better spouse,
better leader in your home, whatever it is. And it's that really that being, but that serving and that vision and that heart, all of that flows out of our being with Jesus.
So where do I start? Let's say I'm a leader that's in a leadership circle. I don't really have a vision right now for what God's doing with this. I'm willing, but where do I start in really being and gaining that heart and that vision for where God wants me to be in ministry?
Yeah, I mean, I think it comes from, again, that being with God first. And I would just ask a few simple questions for you to consider. Are you spending time reading the Bible, spending time in prayer, spending time in worship, spending time with other Christians, right? And so once you're doing those four things and they become a regular habit for
list
you.
List them again.
Yeah, so it's being with other Christians. It's being in church, in worship. It's being in prayer and being in the Bible. And when you're in those places, you're spending time with Jesus. You're making a regular habit of doing that. And then once you're doing that and you're making a regular habit of that, then it's time to start praying about, okay, what do I do? What's next? But I think it has to, our doing always has to flow out of our being. It always does. And so, but if you find yourself and you're like, yep, Pastor, I checked all those off, and I don't want to make those check boxes.
Right.
But like there's a sense that you're always going to be able to grow in your being, but there is a point where you're going to stagnate in your being if you're not going to start doing. Right. If you're like, once you are doing those things and you can say those are a part of my regular life habits, then it's like, well, don't just stagnate. Start praying to God about, well, what does he want me to do for his kingdom, right? And so that's going to give you a little push. It's going to actually make your being better because you're going to have to rest in that, because God might say, well, wait a while, keep praying about it for a while. He may give you an answer right away. And when he gives you an answer right away, guess what? You've got a challenge now, and that challenge is going to what? It's going to make you need that being so much more. And I think this being and doing is such a great thing for your leadership, for discipleship, because it puts the angst into your being that you can then take to God, right? If you don't have any angst to take to God, right, like being is kind of, can I say, boring?
Yeah.
Like you're just sitting there waiting for God to talk. But when you have some angst of God, I'm not sure how I'm called to lead. Like, pray to him about that. It gives you something to have a conversation with him about it. It gives you, when you open your Bible, it gives you something else to look for, right, in those words. It gives you some emphasis in your life. And that's important for your being, is that you bring a little angst, a little brokenness, dare I say. Like, I think most good things come from us taking our brokenness to God and him doing something wonderful through it. And so sometimes my push of saying, hey, we need you to lead, when you bring that into your being with God, I think it can add something.
The hard part is there's no timeline, right? So I do this. That's how I want to look at, like,
yeah,
checklist.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, 'cause I'm a doer. Mm-hmm. So this whole, like, let's be and let's let God speak into that is can be tough when you're a doer. But it's not a checklist. It's not a 1, 2, 3. It's just being with God, being in relationship with others, hearing him, speaking to him, and searching his word. And that next step will come. It may take time.
Yeah, and I think I'm fine with that as long as you begin to ask that question, God, what else am I called to do? Or where am I called to step up in my leadership? Where am I called to be maybe a little more present with my kids, or lead my family a little better, or lead my spouse, or whatever it is? Like, where are you called to do that? And I think it's less about me giving you a timeline, but more about you, once you're doing those things in your being, once you're in prayer and reading your Bible and in worship and gathering with other Christians, once you're doing that, then to ask yourself, well, what's next? How do I begin to lead others?
Okay, so the last point I really want to talk about, we've talked about church before. We've talked about prayer. We've talked about being in the Word. But I hear you speaking a little more about being in relationship with others. Now, let's say I have a spouse and I have my kids. Is that enough? And how do I find that those people that God's calling me to be in relationship with?
No, your spouse and your kids aren't enough. I'll start there. They're the primary relationships. If you have that, if you have a spouse, your spouse is your primary relationship.
Right.
I hope they're your best friend. I think that's a good, healthy thing. But they can't be the only one. I think God has called us to have 2 or 3 or 4 close relationships. We see Jesus model this, actually. A lot of times we miss this, but Jesus had 12. Mm-hmm. Right? And actually, he had more than 12. He had the 72. So he sent out these 72. And those 72, some of them could have been women. He doesn't say. Then he has the 12. Then he has the 3. And sometimes we miss this, but the 3 were Peter, James, and John.
Correct.
There were times when he took them aside. And then we believe his best friend was John. Now, again, we could be wrong. It might have been Peter.
Was Peter aware of that?
I don't know. But it sure seems like, and yeah, and how did that make the other disciples feel? But I think we're called to have this best friend. We're called to have 3 close friends. And I would say the 3 close friends you share most of your life with. And who are those people? If you don't have them, I'm probably not the expert in finding them, but I think we got to be intentional about it. What things are we willing to do? Where are we willing to enter into sometimes somebody's messiness, into sometimes their life? But how can we find ways to hang out with people? I think that's really important, to spend life with them.
It was really interesting to me. Around Christmas time, I was invited over to someone's house. And it was really interesting because it was not church people that were there. There were three of us from church that were there, but there were four to five, I want to say, that were from other places in this woman's life. So when we got there, not sure what to expect, as each one of us got there, she was very intentional of, this is my friend Donna. And I know Donna from church. And she, you know, this is so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so. She went around the room. And then she said, the reason I like Donna is because. I was like, wow, I've never had this happen. And did this with each person, her connection and why she valued them. And then did such a great job through the evening of bouncing around and connecting people. So the intentionality was amazing. The value that I received was amazing. But knowing my place in their life was really amazing. And it's not like one of my closer relationships, but I felt so good about that and was so thankful. Yeah. Sometimes it can look different ways when we are seeking those relationships or we're connecting them or putting them together. But I think it's just start looking for those people that you feel connected to. They don't all have to come from the same place. And sometimes it's just the willingness to say, hey, will you do some life with me? Can we just have some conversation?
Yeah, and I think part of that is just appreciating someone. I think sometimes we see something in somebody or we appreciate them and then we're, you know, nervous or scared to say it out loud, or it just doesn't feel right, or it's like, I don't know you well enough to say that. But I think when we see something in somebody to appreciate them, and that does foster friendships. But I think I would just say too, I think the other thing though that's key here is I think sometimes for me, I can make it too much about myself. Like I can feel like, well, I don't have enough to offer in friendship, or I don't have this. But I think the reality is there's a lot of lonely people out there. And so there's a lot of people that just by giving the gift of friendship, you're doing something wonderful to that. And so I would just say that we got to keep, you know, and I know that sounds flippin' or simple or whatever, you know, it sounds like something on a Hallmark card, but like just give the gift of friendship and see what God's going to do with it. There's a lot of good people around church, like, and just start by giving the gift of friendship.
Yeah. And you don't know what will happen. Yeah. And I don't think that's flippant at all. I think it's starting to look for those people, maybe not staying in your comfort zone. But like this gal did, of just being willing to take a step out and connect with different people. And who knows what God's going to do with that. Yeah. There were some great things that happened that
evening. Yeah, that's so cool.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. Thank you so much for joining us today for Jesus-Centric Leadership. We hope to see you next time.